It's the weekend, which means it's time for Jill on Money, the show that makes money fun and just happens to answer all your financial questions. Here's your host, Jill Schlesinger.
You're back. It's hour number two of Jill on Money. And boy, this is going to be such an interesting segment because sometimes I read these books that the publishers send over and I'm like, snore, boring, not well written, too self-helpy, blah, 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 all those things. Not this time. I really like this book a lot. Of course I did, because bottom line is that we don't put people on the air whose books I don't really like. So we are delighted to have author Rachel O'Meara, who is the author of the newly released Pause, Harnessing the Life-Changing Power of Giving Yourself a Break. Rachel, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us today.
Hi, Jill. It's great to be here. Thank you.
Excellent. All right. So, Rachel, let me just do a quickie on your bio. First of all, your picture on the back cover is very pretty. So I should just say that
Thank you.
It's theater of the mind. Rachel O'Meara is a transformational leadership and executive coach supporting others as they seek to fulfill their potential. She's a sales executive at Google and a host for the Mindful Talks at Google program. You're also a volunteer and you do mindfulness training. And And you have an MBA from Fordham University. Go Rams!
Yay! And I was a finance major. I actually, this was over 10 years ago, but I'm pretty sure I was a finance major.
Nice!
my concentration. Yeah, we have concentration.
There you go. All right.
Go Rams.
Tell our listeners a little bit of the story of how you manage your career and why you really felt like you needed to just stop and pause.
Yeah. So in my case, I'll take you back a little bit to a couple years ago, 2011, and I was working as a manager in a support team, and I had a team of people. I'd been at Google a couple years, and for whatever reason, things weren't going great for me. I felt like I was beating my head against the wall, where I would show up and be like interested to really make a difference and perform at a great level, but for whatever reason, the feedback that I was getting from my manager and from performance reviews was actually not cutting it. And I was baffled. So I don't know if anyone else can relate to that, but pretty much that's a really quick summary. And so instead of continuing in a rut and quitting and moving on to the next job immediately, or even staying in my job and being miserable, I decided to take an unpaid leave of absence from Google, which I was very fortunate enough to have as an option at Google at the time. And there's only 14% of global companies that offer that, by the way. So I realized that that's not a really big part of the world of a lot of us. But either way, I took off 3 months of unpaid leave, which was the maximum I could take at the time, to really refresh and down-regulate a little bit, like calm my monkey mind, the negative mental tailspin that I think I was in. And it really was burnout. It was me reaching a point of not knowing what to do next. And my mental state wasn't in a really healthy place to say in a wise way, okay, Rachel, here's what you need to do next. All I knew is I had to get off the track. I had to take myself out of what I was in a system and the environment and assess, was I on the right path?
And Rachel,
let me interject
here 1 second. The thing that was striking to me also in the book is that you had actually saved a few bucks to even make that possible. So, can you talk like so? What you were young, and you didn't just put every single dollar into retirement. You had some savings, and did you have a feeling of like, you never know, or what led you to that to take that path? Because I think that is sort of rare.
Yeah, this is a big part of it actually. So I felt like I did have some savings. I live in San Francisco. I'd lived in New York for 10 years. So I'd had some money saved up from the business world that I'd been in. And it was my rainy day money. I call that, that's what I call it in the book. And it wasn't like I had a huge stash of cash, but I had a cushion. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't sure what I would need it for at some point. But I decided that this could be helpful at some point. So yeah, I had some savings. And then decided that I would use some of it at least for my pause. And I ended up doing things like buying a car, a used car from a friend. I didn't own a car things like that.
And what about this process that you find instructive that really surprised you? I mean, it's one thing to say, like, oh, I'm burned out, but what did you learn about yourself when you did take that pause?
Yeah, that's a big question. So I learned a lot.
Listen, come on. I'm not asking little ones, girl.
I learned a lot. And I think there's this huge element of pause in the book. I talk about facing fear and the fear of the unknown, because really in a pause, which I call any intentional shift in behavior, by the way, so this isn't some long break all the time. This could be a change in what you do in your day routine, or a breath, or a walk around the block, or something like that. Mm-hmm. So for me, knowing that I didn't have an answer if I'd go back to Google or do something different, there's a lot of challenge and courage is required, in my opinion, to pause. So what I learned about myself was actually to be present and learn in a new way how to be more aware of what was important to me. So being more aligned with what was more satisfying in my day, even if it was a conversation where I made eye contact, we're talking really simple stuff. Where I really learned about someone who spoke to me and I would help them with maybe a recommendation, or they'd help me as I was looking for a job.
But let me ask you a question. How do you know, this is weird. So how do you know when you're not present? What's happening in someone's mind? Like,
yeah.
There are times where you are like, just because work life, things that are happening, like you can't be present all the time. So what are some of the signs that you think are instructive to maybe say to somebody, like, just take a breath or take some time, not even necessarily like, oh, you got to take a sabbatical, but like, what are some signs that we should be on the lookout for in our lives?
Yeah, super good point, Jill. And I think there's five signs that I talk about in pause, and these are telltale signs that you're in need for a meaningful break. And the other thing I would note is we operate on autopilot a lot, and whether we know it or not, it's really hard to be conscious and actually intentionally set aside stuff. And we all know this when we are just in routine and you're like, where'd the day go? Why is this happening so fast? And that's because we aren't present to the actual moment by moment stuff that's going on. So,
all right, hold on a second. Hold that thought, because Mark just, because he was goofing off in the studio with another guy, and then he just said, "Oh, you have a minute left." So, when we return with Rachel O'Meara, we're going to get back to some of those signs that you should be paying attention to, that you're not exactly being present. Rachel is the author of a new book called Pause, Harnessing the Life-Changing Power of Giving Yourself a Break. When we return, we're going to say, what are some of the signs, and then what you can do. Maybe you don't work at a place, or you're not in a position in your financial life to actually be able to take a sabbatical and take that pause, but you can pause in lots of different ways. And Rachel O'Meara is going to tell you how. You are listening to Jill on Money, 855-411-JILL. Send us an email, askjill@jillonmoney.com. We'll be right back.
It's Jill on Money with Jill Schlesinger. Have a question? Call or email anytime, 855-411-JILL, or askjill@jillonmoney.com.
You're back with Jill on Money. This is the program that takes the mystery out of your financial life. I'm Jill Schlesinger. Our phone number here is 855-411-JILL. Our email address, askjill@jillonmoney.com. And we are fortunate enough to have a special guest this hour. Her name is Rachel O'Meara. Pause is her new book, Harnessing the Life-Changing Power of Giving Yourself a Break. And Rachel, before the break, we were just talking about some of the telltale signs that you might need to be taking a little bit of a pause, that things aren't going exactly as you'd like. And can you go through some of those signs that we can all use in our own lives?
Yes. So there's five main signs that you can think about. If any of these have happened to you, it's a great sign to know you may need a meaningful, intentional shift in behavior or break. And I ask you all, if you're listening, to mentally track, put mark a one next to each of these, and then kind of tally these up at the end, and we'll go through that.
Okay, so Mark and I
have one of these.
Yeah, Mark and I are going to do that. So I'll let you know how we go. Okay, let's go.
Good. Okay, so the first one is, and these all happened to me, by the way. So the first one is, you used to love your job, and now you loathe it. Hmm. And that's a big one, because we all are enthusiastic to start, and then maybe for whatever reason, over time, burning out, not being satisfied, for whatever reason, it's no longer fun. It's loathing, and that's, you know, a one way to go.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's the first sign. The second sign is that your boss tells you it's not working out.
That's a pretty clear sign.
That's a pretty obvious one. And so, in my case, I was a little bit in denial for a while. And so actually the reality is this happens in subtle ways. In my case, my manager directly told me eventually, this isn't the right fit for you. But it could be in any number of ways, the proverbial pink slip, as I call it. Mm. So that's the second one. The third one is, you have an intervention that separates you from your work or technology.
Wait a minute. What's that mean? What does that mean?
So, if you are on a phone, your digital devices, your laptop, you're kind of tethered in ways that you may not want to be, whether it means it's interfering with personal time or you're overworking yourself, and it might be nothing wrong with overworking or doing a lot, but if you're literally tethered, and I was, and I had a friend say to me, Rachel, you are attached to your email. Why are you on your computer so much? And that was my intervention. Mm. So that's a big one. And
that's actually a hard one, though, because like if you're a professional in most organizations, or you know, even if you work for yourself, and I'll give you like the way that just popped to mind. Let's say you're a realtor, right? And you run around and you got these, you know, listings, and people want to see homes, and like you always feel like you've got to be checking and be available because that's the expectation of your client base. How do you feel untethered if that's the situation? Or if you work at a place where it's like, you know what, I work at Goldman Sachs and they expect me to be checking my emails at least three or four times every weekend day.
Absolutely. This is a reality that we're all in. So that's going to happen. Right? Mm-hmm. There's expectations we all have in our jobs, and nothing wrong with that. However, if you want to create a couple of rules or boundaries, so maybe that means there's one particular day, or you don't have your phone next to your bed when you sleep. Mm. And they can be minor shifts and tweaks, but the idea is that you create a little more alignment with what works for you. So if you're constantly feeling dragged, if you're that realtor and you have a 24/7 policy, is that really the best thing for you? And maybe you actually set a boundary that says after 10 p.m., after 9 p.m., and that's a lot. That's pretty generous. I'm not checking my phone.
Right.
And, oh, my God, I'm going to have to wait till 7.
Right.
I mean, it sounds like that's maybe impossible, but I encourage an experiment, and that's what pausing really is to me, is an experiment. If we are curious and try different things, there might be something that works and can stick and really help you feel more satisfied and not so stressed out or burned out. So I think that can help.
I think that's right. To have ground rules and set expectations is huge. I really do. Okay. Sign four.
Yep. Sign four is a major life event, challenge, or change happens. And so this is a big one where there might be something, a challenge happens in your world, and we all face these. Some adverse event. Maybe there's a healthcare issue for yourself or a loved one. You're laid off. Something isn't going great, your relationship ends, or there's just something that's not so pleasant. And so these can be blessings in disguise, where at the time and the moment, it's like the worst thing that happens. Cancer, it could be the most disastrous thing, death. That's pretty much the extreme, right?
Yeah.
So when this happens, these are part of life. And potentially, it's not to just rush into the next thing and push the pain away, because that's really easy. But guess what? The pain doesn't leave you. It's there. So if we actually stop and shift our behavior and maybe allow ourselves some extra time to do something or to express or to maybe journal or to go get help or ask for support, all of these are ways that you can pause and shift your behavior so that maybe you've got some new ideas that emerge on how to be in that situation or to deal with whatever's going on.
You know what? It's interesting, though. Like, I think that you're right that sometimes those life events, which are so awful, it does help you reassess. I mean, I always hate that, though. You're like, oh, why does someone have to get sick for me to say, well, yeah. You know, what am I doing to make the best of my life? But we'll get to that after, just to kind of, because that's like an annoying thing that I always feel in myself, like, no, life's short. And then, like, a week later, I'm off that. So what's the fifth sign?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the fifth sign and the last of the five signs is that a new opportunity shows up. So this could be something that is on the positive side. So it might be an itch that you've been wanting to do for whatever amount of time. And it might be things like exploring a passion project. It might be looking for a new job. It mm-hmm. might be a class that you want to take. It might be a weekend trip that someone has been nagging you to go on for 2 weeks or more, and you've said no, but maybe now it's time to just say yes mm-hmm. and try that. So that's the other side, because you can take an opportunity to say, what do I really want to do here? And we all have those. These are the desires that maybe nag us in the back of our minds and say, why don't you try this? Why don't you do this? And it might be as simple as that, or it might show up as a really obvious sign where you've been dying to start your own thing on the side or get a pet. I mean, these are all different things, but they're opportunities that I think are intentional shifts in behavior. And the idea is that these can get you out of your comfort zone. So they feel a little bit awkward maybe or risky, and that's okay. But our brains kind of like to keep us in our comfort zone. And to help with this, I actually put together a worksheet for finance, because I think a lot of it is about budget. Maybe you don't feel like you have the finances, or there's ways that you're not sure how to plan it. So there's a ton of tools in the book. And one of them is this worksheet I put together called Don't Break the Bank Worksheet. And it's literally just a one page where you can track what your fixed costs are, your variable costs are, and then come up with a plan, which can help you if you have savings or even if you don't. And you don't need any money to have a pause. It could be if you have $1 billion or $0.
I love that. I really do love that, because I think that it does. I know that it's really nutty that people like they'll say to me, like, oh, you know, can't always like boil everything down to finances mm-hmm. and like. But I do think that when you have a real firm grip of, you know, what's coming in, what's going out, and you have that emergency reserve fund, the thing that I consistently see with people is that those who have the grasp on that and have the resources, and I know it's not everyone, so don't write in and get all mad. I'm just saying, like, if you do, what it does is it preserves your options, and it gives you maybe it will give you time to pause. Maybe it will actually give you the opportunity to pursue something else. But without knowing that, I think you so get caught in like that horrible loop of like, I can't do it. I can't do it. So when we come back from the break, we're going to keep talking with Rachel O'Meara, because I feel like I'm in a therapy session right now. We'll make it about me soon. And we're going to talk about the scoring. Mark, we'll talk about our scoring. We're going to be very honest about it. And then we're going to ask Rachel what she thinks you ought to do if you're kind of ticking the scales in the wrong direction. We're talking to Rachel O'Meara. She's the author of Pause, and you are listening to Jill on Money. 855-411-JILL. Ask Jill at jillonmoney.com. We'll be right back.
Annuities, IRAs, 401ks, she covers it all. Back to Jill on Money with Jill Schlesinger. You ain't got nothing
on me. You're back with Jill on Money. This is the program that takes the mystery out of your financial life, but it's also the show that really wants to encourage you to invest in your human capital. You know, like, how do you make yourself a better worker, employee, happier human being? You know, those pieces. And to further that, We are talking to Rachel O'Meara. She's the author of a new book called Pause, Harnessing the Life-Changing Power of Giving Yourself a Break. And Rachel, before we went to the break, you outlined the five signs or, concerns that you may need a pause. One, you used to love your job. Now you loathe it. Two, your boss tells you it's not working out, which I think is quite an obvious one. Three is you have an intervention that separates you from your work or technology, kind of telling you like, oh my God, maybe you're too tethered to your technology. Four, a major life event, a challenge or something that's happening. And five is a new opportunity that reveals itself. And you said put a little one after the sign that maybe resonates with you. And just to be clear, Rachel, you said you had all five of these?
Yeah.
Dude, you are over the edge. You are over the edge. Oh, my gosh.
I was on the top of the spectrum there. So I knew I needed a break.
Okay. Yeah. So I did mine while you were talking. And
yeah, how'd you do?
I think I gave myself, so not one, not two, not four, not five, but sign three, I think that I'm a little tethered by technology. Mm. I think that I, and I'm not saying that it, I don't know, like, remember, like, my real job is that I work in news, so it's very difficult not to be tethered to technology. So I'm going to give myself a half for that. That half of it is real, but half of it is that I get compulsive. I'm going to admit that.
Gotcha.
So what do I do about
that?
Too
bad. So I would say you're in pretty good shape, Jill, if you've got a score of one and it happens to be on that one. So my suggestion for anyone who does feel tethered to technology is to come up with a few rules, and these are actually ways that you can just start making little incremental changes. So, for example, if you're in the business of news, Jill, so we'll just use you.
Why not?
For this example, yeah. So maybe what's the biggest issue that you face with your technology? Is it just checking email all the time?
Or? Yeah. I totally. And then I get sucked into stuff that's dopey. You know, like I don't really. So, you know, on a there can be 100 emails on breaking news that absolutely have nothing to do with me. In other words, the U.S. launches airstrikes at Syria. OK, there are no so when I wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning, there are 100 emails that are going out about that. And that does not affect me, but I get sucked into looking at all of them. So how do I stop myself from doing that?
Yeah, that's a good one. Wow. So I'm with you. And this happens to me, too. Here I am writing a book about it. And I have to tell you, I get sucked in myself. So this is a normal thing that we all face. But the idea is, we all have conscious choice as a person and humanity and all of that stuff. So, and what you can do is when it's 4 a.m. and you're scrolling through your emails, there might be an intention you can set in the beginning of that. And this might be a rule, like we talked about a little earlier. Mm-hmm. So the rule is, if it doesn't pertain to my immediate job, I don't look at it right now.
Mm-hmm.
Super simple, right?
Yep.
Like it's not rocket science, but it's like a little thing that you can implement. And then you can even put in there a consequence. So if I do check that and I get stuck, then I tell myself, oh, here I go again. I'm stuck in that. And I put my phone down. I turn it. I just turn off the screen and I get up from my chair or something.
Yeah.
Like I walk in the room. So you're switching your brain to think about something else. And all of this is what I've learned in my education at Wright Foundation in Chicago. And they're called implementation intentions. So simply an if then. So if I do this, then I blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm on my phone, then I only look at what's relevant for me right in that moment. If it's after 9 a.m., okay, so it's maybe a little later in the day, I have another rule. If it's 9 a.m., I allow 10 minutes to look at whatever I want.
I think so that's kind of cool because you're basically putting rules together, but I thought you were about to say, like, you know, you're going to have to take a time out. No, but it's really, I like that idea about setting some ground rules for yourself, and you're not, and you know what? So what? If you mess up, who cares? Right? But you at least you have it down, right?
Right. Be kind to yourself. You can be your worst critic, and that doesn't serve you as someone who's trying to shift in your behavior, right? So to be that voice and come up with maybe three rules. So anyone who wants to, including you, Jill, can come up with three rules right now, today, by the end of the day, to say, here's how I'm changing how I'm tethered to technology. Mm-hmm. For me, when I was pausing on my 3-month unpaid break, I only looked at email for 30 minutes at a time. So it didn't mean I didn't look at email. It didn't mean that I was on it for hours, but I would break it up. And I do that now in my job. So I know I've got 100 emails waiting for me, but I'm not going to panic because they're not going anywhere. But I can look at them and know that, okay, I've reserved the next hour for this.
And let's be honest also, like, do we really need to be sending as many emails as we're sending? Can everyone just calm down with the emails? I mean, for God's sakes, you're younger than I am, but I am of a certain age, whereas, like, I literally feel like I'm going to pull my hair out sometimes. Like, just, well, how about you pick up the phone? Because we can get a lot more done than me having to go back and forth. Yeah. It's actually, in many ways, I find email insidious waste of time. I find that it is a way that you get drawn into conversations that would be much more quickly resolved with a very quick phone call. And now I am, I have officially become my mother by making that comment. And so, Ma, you're right. And I also think that what happens many times is that, you know, you have that issue around not really understanding the tonality of what's important and what's not. Like, one time by mistake, I had my caps lock on and I was responding to someone and they wrote back to me, "Why are you yelling at me?" And I'm like, oh, God. I had my caps lock on by mistake. I was not yelling at you, but really, this is yet another reason why. Can we just have a conversation? When we get back with author Rachel O'Meara. Rachel, we promise we're going to let you go eventually. I loved the idea of some of the short pauses. You don't have time to take 3 months off unpaid leave. Let's talk about what to do in the minute, in a minute or in a moment where you can kind of take a break for a second. So Rachel O'Meara, she will be right back with us here on Jill on Money. And if you've got a financial question, 855-411-JILL. Send us an email, askjill@jillonmoney.com. Go to Amazon during the break and buy the book. How about that? We'll be right back.
Young, old, it doesn't matter. She's here to help you. Back to Jill on Money with Jill Schlesinger. When I think
of heaven. You're back with Jill on Money. And if you've got a financial question, we'd love to hear from you. Our phone number here is 855-411-JILL. Send us an email, askjill@jillonmoney.com. We are going to finish up our interview. Poor Rachel. Poor Rachel, our guest. We've tethered her not just to technology, but to this interview.
This is awesome. I want to stay all day.
All right, done. Come back to New York. We'll play. It'll be so much fun.
Okay. I'll be there.
All right. Her book is called Pause, Harnessing the Life-Changing Power of Giving Yourself a Break. I really did enjoy this so much. So what did I dog ear specifically? I'm going to tell you, Rachel. The daily pauses. Now, what's interesting about this is, what you don't know, is I have talked about this on the show before, which is I am a bad meditator. However, I started meditating through the Headspace app. I wish they were a sponsor, but they're not. I started doing it back in October, and I'm going to tell you why. Because I was getting so wound up every day about politics. That, like, so much so that I would wake up with my heart palpitating. So that's bad. And that's part, again, the job and, like, being very much in the news cycle and just something going on all the time. So I started meditating. And I found it incredibly helpful. And what I think was really amazing and what has been amazing about it is, and you write this, you say, any pause, regardless of its length or whatever you may feel, is a chance to listen to your inner voice. And what I think is interesting to me is that it's just a time where, even if you have other thoughts that float through, that it's quiet time and that we don't have that so often. And I find it
creative.
Yes. Yeah. So talk a little bit. So let's talk a little bit about these daily pauses, and you can tell me about your meditation practice and what works for you and what you think works for the masses, even the people who say I could never do that.
Yeah. And Jill, man, I feel you. That was me too. I never meditated in my life before my pause, that 3 month unpaid break. So for me, Headspace is great, by the way. I call any intentional shift in behavior, pause. So daily pauses, no matter how big or small, are a couple ways to incorporate some of that quiet time. And by the way, it doesn't mean meditation, okay? This means you're allowing yourself to be with you in whatever works for you. So this might be a couple of examples, okay? We'll walk through these. So the first one we can all just do right now together.
Okay.
The belly breath pause, where literally you can take a hand, if you've got your hand free, place it on your diaphragm or your stomach or your whatever you want to call this area, your belly, and go ahead and take a breath. So we'll inhale and exhale.
Did you go through in through your nose and out through your mouth?
I do, but okay. Your body knows how to breathe, so do what works for you.
Okay.
So inhaling and exhaling, you just feel your physical body as well, and that for me helps me be more present.
Mm-hmm.
So you can count up to one breath and work your way up to 10 breaths. And that can be one simple pause.
And just to be clear, I want to just, that Rachel isn't just like some unga bunga person here. There is research behind this that will shows that breathing lowers your heart rate and can kind of reset your nervous system in a way. So this is very important.
This is huge. Exactly. And thanks for reminding me about that. Yeah. So just that simple exercise of, you don't have to put your hand on your stomach. You can literally just sit up a little straighter or put your feet uncross your legs and arms, or while you're walking, you can count your breath. And the idea is to just attention train your mind. This is a conscious shift and not what we're normally programmed to do. We're, again, on autopilot a lot. So this is a way you can be more present and more in tune with yourself. And it might shift out your stress level or switch to that parasympathetic nervous system that is the way that you calm yourself and can help soothe yourself in a way that works for you. You might just relax a little more. Maybe your shoulders get down. Maybe your jaw unclenches. Those are little things, but they add up.
I find the breath is really big. The other two that you have in here, and because we're going to come to the end of the break, and then I'm going to keep you for 3 more minutes, and that's it. Place the palm of one hand close to your face in front of your mouth and blow into the palm. What does that do?
Yeah, so this is a great one. It's called a micro pause by David Keller. He wrote a PhD on pausing. So if you go ahead and put your hand about 6 inches from your nose, just up in eye level, look at it. Look at the texture. Do this right now if you can. If you're driving, don't do this. But look at the colors. Look at the texture. And then take a breath and slowly exhale and blow on your hand.
Okay.
And feel the breath of your hand. And that's actually neurologically shifting, again, your attention from the amygdala, which is your reactive limbic system, to your prefrontal cortex, which is your thinking brain. And you're soothing yourself in some ways, and it's just allowing yourself to calm down. And it's literally 30 seconds.
All right, I love it. We are talking to Rachel O'Meara, and when we come back, she gets 3 minutes. The guest doesn't usually get the last segment, so I'm giving it to Rachel to talk more about the daily pause, the pause in general, and what you need to consider to take a baby step to get here. Guys, I know some of you are thinking this is just ridiculous. It's not. It actually works, and we all can use it. That's why we have Rachel with us. Rachel O'Meara, the author of Pause, Harnessing the Life-Changing Power of Giving Yourself a Break, here on the Jill on Money Show. 855-411-JILL. Send us an email. askjill@jillonmoney.com. We'll be right back. You're back with Jill on Money. Coming to the very end of the show, just a few minutes left. And so we were able to convince Ms. Rachel O'Meara to continue to stick around. Are you sneezing in the last few minutes? Come on now.
Yeah, I'm just clearing my throat because I'm excited.
Oh, you are? Awesome. Rachel is the author of Pause, Harnessing the Life-Changing Power of Giving Yourself a Break. And, I want to finish this conversation a little bit with some action items that are small steps that our listeners can take. that maybe just in the next minute or so, tell us what you think. Takeaway number 1, 2, 3. Pretend this is like a live television hit and I'm giving you 3 bullet points. What are my 3 bullet points? What do I do?
Got it. The first one is to give yourself permission to try something different. So instead of rushing around in your day, what if you actually went out for lunch and didn't stay at your desk?
Okay, 2.
There you go. There's 1. The 2 is you can align to be more with what you want and be more satisfied. So what are you yearning to do? What do you want to do today? Go ahead and give yourself permission to follow that. Maybe it's just call a friend. And that's also leading to more alignment. And maybe you don't know that unless you pause because it actually occurred to you to try.
Number 3.
And number 3 is you always have a choice. So
remember
no matter
that.
What, you are not a victim. You are someone who has a conscious mind and can choose in any moment what to do. And that is the power of pause.
Oh, my God. That was perfect, Rachel. You're awesome. Thank you so much for joining us. You are really, I really enjoyed the book, so I think it's great. And by the way, this is so well researched. I mean, she's got footnotes. It's a book that is like, you think it's like, oh, this is going to be some little like unga bunga book. It's not. It's well researched. It's footnotes. Arianna Huffington blurbed it, for God's sakes. So Rachel O'Meara, author of Pause, Harnessing the Life-Changing Power of Giving Yourself a Break. Thank you so much for joining us here on the program. And thank you for listening. This is the end of the show. So don't forget, if you've got a question, 855-411-JILL. That's our phone number. Our email address, askjill@jillonmoney.com. You're terrific. You're great. We want to hear from you. Let us know what we can do better. See you next week. $1, $1.